religion? I said, yes, I got mine too. But my religion, yours, might lead you to hell. Better look out. Do you know you've been born again? Do you know your sins are forgiven? If you died right now, would you know you'd go to heaven? Well, he said, I'm not so bad. Well, I read in Romans chapter 3, we're before proof both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. He said, I'm not any Jew. Well, I said, but not a Jew, a Gentile, and all the Gentiles under sin too. And that scripture goes on to say, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then I talked about his neighbor. I said, if it's none righteous, your neighbor's not righteous. Yeah, that pleases him. He'd like to tease his neighbor. Yeah, that's right, he's not. And I said, if it's none righteous, then God knows I'm not righteous either. Well, he said, I guess so. And then he said, you know, I've done a few wrong things myself. And it wasn't long till that man, 70 years old, made $1 million and starting a little Italian bar and then made his money and retired. And he was calling on the Lord Jesus and trusting him to save him. Now, you put this thing down. You got to be born again or go to hell. That's your head. Why, you're a sinner. That's why you're a sinner. Wait a minute. Not only you're a sinner, but there's something innately wicked that's born in there. You're born wrong. That's why you need to be born again. Born wrong. Don't you remember the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You mean the heart's wicked? Yes. Yours? Yes, sir. You know, one of the strangest things, how deceitful our heart is. I was in Fort Worth, Texas. I went to see a man who was a murderer. Roscoe Wilson had to start with $1,500 from the Majestic Theater to the bank and one night, and two men held him up and shot him and got the money and got away and up in Oklahoma. But a series of accidents and a mud hole in the canyon, a deputy sheriff found him and so on. He was taken home and tried. He was proved to be the murderer. He pulled the trigger to that gun and killed that innocent man and stole the money, and he was condemned to die. He was in the jail, and they're going to ship him to Huntsville, Texas, to the electric chair soon. I went down to the jail and said, I want to see him. And Sheila said, nobody can see him. He's in solitary confinement. He's condemned to die. We're about to ship him to Huntsville. I said, I know, but I can see him. God told me to come down and see him. I'm not trying to get him out. I'm trying to get him to heaven. I want to talk to him. He said, you'll have to talk to the sheriff then. And I said, get him on the phone. Got the sheriff on the phone. I said, Mr. Carl Page? Yes, sir. He said, this is John. I said, this is John R. Rice. I'm down here. I want to see this man. Oh, yes, said the sheriff. Brother Rice, I hear you on the radio every day. He said, sure, you can see him. Said, put the jailer on. And the big jailer got on the phone. He said, get that boy shaved and cleaned up and get him out there to see Brother Rice. He came out to see me, only 22 years old. His face was pasty white from solitary confinement. Only 22, but his hands trembled like the man, old man. And he told me how his wife, she wanted fur coats. She couldn't live on such a little income. And he got to stealing and finally, and then he thought he'd hold him. But he said, I'd had a gun, but I didn't plan to kill anybody. I don't know what made me. I didn't need to pull that trigger. I don't know what made me do it. I never intend to kill anybody. Oh, no. And the girl here that's gone wrong and sold herself, and now she's filthy and dirty and not fit to marry a decent man and not fit to bear nice children and so on, and now she's looked on as a call girl or a chippy or a prostitute and a whore, and so on. She never meant to turn out that way. No, and a man that's insatiable, a drunkard, and can't quit it. And God knows there's some men gone so far they think they can't, though God can deliver them. Ah, but they never meant to turn out that way. And that man said, I never meant to kill anybody. No, I know it. I know it. I talked to a woman, I guess 45 minutes after she shot another woman because she'd been running with this other woman, been running with her husband. And she said, I don't know what made me do it. I never meant to do that. Oh, the truth is, that wicked heart of yours is wicked. David said, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He did not mean his mother was impure or unchaste. He simply meant, I was born of a human parent. Of a dad's a sinner and a mother was a sinner and I'm a sinner. I'm born that way. No wonder. No wonder Paul the Apostle said, wretched man that I am, who'll deliver me from the body of this sin? When I would do good, evil's present with me. You're a sinner, born wrong with a dirty, wicked heart. It's an incurably wicked heart, unless God fixes it. You know that? In Wheaton, Illinois, a little girl, Grace Lindbergh,
Her father ran a Jewish rescue mission. Little Grace Lindbergh, 5 years old. And one day she shoved down a little brother, and little brother cried, and her mother said to her, "Gracie, I've told you and told you. You mean to your brothers, you lose your temper." I said, "What makes you do that?" And that five-year-old girl began to sob and said, "Mama, Mama, I can't be good. I tried and tried. I can't be good." I know. I've told God that a lot of times, too. And if you've got any sense, you're going to have to face it. You're born wrong. You've got a wicked, corrupt heart. Somebody said, "Well, I cuss, but I don't mean any harm by it." You know why you cuss? Because you got that kind of a dirty, foul, profane heart. That's why. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's right. Oh, then you need to be born again because you're born wrong and born in sin. And that means another thing. That means you're condemned. Oh, it's a terrible thing to be a sinner, because now then you're going to hell unless you get something happen to you. Unless God's loving mercy makes a way to keep you out of hell, you're doomed. Don't you know the psalmist says that the nations should be cast into, or the wicked should be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God? Don't you remember that Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and said, "Send Lazarus, I'm tormented in this plane." I'm saying hell is an awful fact, and that's the next step. That's the next moment after your eyes close and the heart stops its beating and the people gather around to weep. You're already in hell if you die unsaved. That's it. For this same scripture, you say, "But I know this scripture talks about love." Yes, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But wait a minute. He said, "That you might not perish." That you might not perish, because that's hell if you don't take that. And in verse 18, he said, and this is a condemnation, he said, "Then he that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not the Son is condemned already." Not going to be condemned when you die. Not going to be lost then. So I said, "Brother, if you died, would you be lost or so?" I'm already saved. And if you're not saved, you're already lost. Already condemned. Condemned now. That's what the Bible says. Oh my, you're not going to be in that same chapter now. Oh, but God loves the world. But verse 36 says in that same chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You mean the anger of a holy God, the fury of an insulted God hangs over your head every moment unsaved. That's what the Bible says. You're already lost if you're not saved. Oh, then you must be born again. Now here's good news. You don't have to go to hell. Nicodemus, tell this guy about that snake on a pole back yonder in Numbers chapter 20. Oh, yes, Nicodemus says, "I remember that well. You know, I'm a scholar in the Old Testament. Yes, I know that well." And the children of Israel complained at God and Moses, and God sent fiery serpents, and he bit lots of people, and the people began to die. And they said, "Moses, pray for us." So Moses prayed. And God said, "Make a snake out of brass and put it on a pole." That picture is Jesus on the cross. Jesus, a snake? Yes, because Jesus has all John Rice's sin and all your sins as a sin of this poor old wicked, lost, despairing world, and all put on Jesus. And God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, the Bible says in Revelation that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Well, the snake pictures the devil and sin. But there it pictures Jesus with all my sins to cover him. And Jesus, take off that white garment, that seamless garment woven without any seam, that pictures the holy righteousness you have. Take it off, give it to that crooked soldier, because now you're a naked sinner in God's sight, must die like us sinners ought to die. So Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So a snake represents him. And Nicodemus, remember that? Yes, sir. Well, what'd they do about it? Well, and Moses said, "Just look at that snake on a pole and get cured."
You mean cured for snake bite?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you say, "I don't believe that cure."
Somebody said, "Well, I need a drink of whiskey for a snake bite." And somebody said, "Well, cut the place and suck the poison out." And so, yes, I know. But the truth is, this kind of snake bite that you've got, you poor lost sinners, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can take that out. And so look to the snake on the pole. Just look. Well, now, it must be harder than that. You can't earn salvation. No, you don't earn it. If you don't get it free, you don't get it, you know. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, death, you earn that. Walk up and get your pay. You ought to go to hell. You're a sinner. But wait. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to give you something free, already paid for and offered free. And so look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. How are you going to save? Well, get saved. God loves you and he gave his son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad God loves sinners? That's the best thing I know about God. If he loves righteous, sure. Pharisees all love righteous people. Yeah. Worldly people love righteous people, maybe. But God loved poor, wicked sinners and went to all the lengths that a holy God could give to. He took out of heaven his own dear son, the fairest jewel of heaven, and let him be born in this world in poverty and live a life of sacrifice and scorn. And then the bloody sweat of Gethsemane. And then Pilate's judgment hall and a crown of thorns and a lash on his back. And then up the way of sorrows to a hill shaped like a skull and nailed there. And they mocked him 6 hours and God turned his face away and let Jesus die. I'm just saying that I thank God there's a way of salvation. Thank God it's all paid. Thank God it's all paid. If sin be remembered and cometh to judgment, oh, sad the day, God's judgment day. But Christ bore that judgment for penitent sinners. Their sins are all taken away. No more, no more remembered, no more. My sins are all paid for in Christ's body born. Jesus has died for them. God has forgotten them. Who shall condemn when the slate is all clean? Then no more, no more remembered, no more. My sins are remembered no more. Aren't you glad God made a way that you brought out sin and your poor wicked sinner can be forgiven and not ashamed and not charged anymore? Aren't you glad? And as far as Bill Harvey is saying, I'm justified. That's right. You can trust Jesus and be saved. You say, trust in him. What you mean? Like when you go to the bank and risk the bank and deposit your money and say they'll give you. You don't have to stand outside on the corner with a shotgun, guard that money. Now they put it in a vault and they got better things. And it's guaranteed by the government up to $40,000. So you deposit your soul with Jesus. That's worth more than if you had $1 million. Yes, sir. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I put my trust in Jesus. My sins forgiven. I have peace in my heart. I talked to the 13-year-old girl in Dallas, Texas, and she was wonderfully saved. And then she dried her tears, and she said, I'll never be afraid to go to sleep anymore. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yes, sir. You get this settled and know it. You have your sins forgiven. Just trust Jesus. Yes, sir. You go to a doctor and trust the doctor. And the doctor said, let me feel your pulse. And he counts your pulse and sees about you. He then takes your thermometer under your tongue and pokes it there and gets your temperature. And he said, let me see your tongue. Say, ah, and so on. And after a while, he said, I know what's the matter. And he makes out a little slip. You can't read it quite. Doctors don't have very good handwriting. And it's a prescription. You send it to the drugstore, and they give you medicine, a black bottle of medicine, and you take 2 teaspoonfuls after every meal, maybe, and it gets you well. You turn it over to the doctor. He knows, and you don't know. Now, doctors are not always infallible, but Jesus is. Thank God you can trust him, and he saves your poor soul. I'm glad I'm saved. Somebody said, Brother Rice, if you die, would you be saved? I'm already saved. I'm already forgiven. I've already received the atonement. Jesus Christ has already built me a mansion in heaven. The sweet Spirit of God is already living in my body. And the Lord Jesus up there every day taking up anybody that gets on John Rice, Jesus Christ right there to rebuke them up in heaven. Yes, sir. He ever liveth, he make intercession for us according to the will of God. Aren't you glad salvation is for sinners that trust Jesus and you can do it? I ask you a question. Have you been born again? I wonder why people aren't settled. You Christians, are you born again? Why don't you live like it then? There's such a difference between heaven and hell. And is there that difference between you and the lost friends around you? I wonder, you Christian people, how many born again, but you can't tell the difference. That's too bad. This man Nicodemus, it may be this night he trusted Jesus. I don't know. He didn't say so now. Later when Jesus died and his heart's broken and he and Joseph and Arimathea go and get the body of Jesus and wrap it sweetly in spices and they put it in a new tomb and bury it. And so Nicodemus took part, but they had to wait till Jesus died. Oh, why don't you decide? Maybe Nicodemus was a coward and maybe you're a coward too. Jesus, this scripture says there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. Now, that's special mention. Wait a minute. It's mentioned two other times in the Bible, and all three times of Nicodemus is mentioned, it says he's the man who came to Jesus at night. Yeah, at night. Why? I might have thought it's just more convenient to see Jesus. No, the Bible put such a stress on it. Must be he was ashamed, didn't want people to know it, because he didn't come out and claim the Savior now. So I guess he was a little ashamed. Some of you, God have pity on your poor souls. You're ashamed to walk down the aisle and say, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to give him my heart. You're ashamed to go and say, I want to be baptized. I want to put this old sinner down as a sign to count this man buried and raised up to live a new life for Jesus. What's the matter, you cowards? There are three reasons you put off Jesus. One is you love your sin. All right, go on and burn in hell then. That's what you're going to. Another reason is you're ashamed and embarrassed to make a stand. Oh, coward, coward, what shame. Another reason is you say, well, I'm going to, but I'm not ready yet. I procrastinate. You put it off. That's the way to hell. That the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Most of the people in hell intended sometime to be saved, but they never did. Oh, my. I wonder what you're going to do. I wonder how many here say, Brother Rice, I have not been born again. I wonder if there's anybody like that Presbyterian elder at Springfield, Illinois, said to me, Brother Rice, I'm a member of the church. I've been a member 30 years. I've been an elder in the church 24 years. I've never been born again. Are you one like that? Are you like that man told me, he'd been a Sunday school superintendent, he'd led in prayer, but never been born again? Is there somebody here very religious, maybe like John Wesley and all that, but until he found he could trust Jesus and did not know till that night at Aldersgate, I could know that I had saving faith in Jesus. Oh, tonight, make sure, are you born again? Remember, it's born again or hell. Remember, it's born again or eternal enmity with God and eternally set away from Christians eternally in the torment of the damned. Just put this thing down. God, you say, I don't think a loving God do that. In the first place, a loving God done all that an honest God can do to keep you out of hell. He gave his son, the dearest and most precious, and you spit upon him and deny him. No, no, you can't blame God. And now then, what are you going to do about it? Why don't you say, I'm going to turn to Jesus now and trust him as my Savior. I confess my fault, my sin. I know I can't save myself, but God loves me. He said he did. And Jesus died for my sins. That's what the Bible says. And he said if I'd believe in him, he'd give me everlasting life. All right, I'm going to do it. Wouldn't that be simple? You know, God closed the canon of inspiration in Revelation 22. And they said, John, let's write one more sweet invitation to sinners. Write it down, John. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. You know what God's saying to you? He's not shaking his fist at you. He's not saying, I hate you. He's not saying, I want to burn you in hell. No, God's saying, why don't you come? Why don't you come? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride say, come. Heaven's calling for you. And let them that hear it say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Is anybody here tired of your sin? Tired of the certainty of judgment that hangs over you? I wonder if anybody here said, oh, tonight I want to be saved today. I was in Evansville, Indiana, and I went to a hospital. There's a woman there. The doctor didn't know what was the matter. And there she didn't get better after operation. She lay there, and fever kept mounting, and the doctors couldn't fix it. And somebody suggested I go to see her, and I did. And I talked to her, and I found she's afraid she's going to die and go to hell. And when she had trusted Jesus, had peace of heart, oh, the glory of her heart. Then she could sleep, and then she could digest her food, and then the fever disappeared, and she was soon well. I'll tell you right now, there's nothing you need like you need Jesus Christ. And you can have them today. I want to ask you a solemn question. Don't lie to God. I'll ask you a solemn question. I'm not saying if you'd been baptized, that wouldn't fix it. I'm not saying you're a member of the church. That's not the question. I'm not saying you try to pay honest debts and live. I'm not. That's not the point. I wonder how many say, Brother Rice, I thank God I can say, as a poor lost sinner, I put my trust in Jesus who died for me. I believe He saved me. I believe He has forgiven me because He promised to, and I trusted Him. I'm claiming it was my Savior because I trusted Jesus. Lift your hand high, will you? Lift your hand high. Oh, what a magnificent sight, and there in the choir too. Thank you, God bless you. All right, now wait a minute. Somebody couldn't lift your hand. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be saved? Let's bow our head for a moment here. I wonder how many say, Brother Rice, I have a friend or a loved one or a husband or a neighbor or a son or a daughter or a sister or brother. There's somebody here that I love and they're not saved. You say, Brother Rice, will you have a prayer that God will save them now? I sure will. You hold your hand for them as a sign. I have a loved one here unsaved. We'll pray for them. Lift your hand. I won't know the name, but God knows it. Oh, they're here in this audience now. You remember? In this building, you ask us to pray. Is that right? Here in this building, you ask us to pray. You do that? All right? In the choir? All right? Oh, God, see these hands lifted. And you know those that are unsaved. And some of them in this building, they ought to be saved tonight. Lord, save them. Wait where the head's all bowed. I wonder, lost sinner, are you honest? This may be the only chance I'll ever have to preach to you. It may be the only time you'll ever get a chance to hear the gospel from anybody. You'd better be honest about it if you don't want to wake up in hell.